Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. I'm your host, Dr. Lanier, and it is Wednesday, July 15th. We air the show every other Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And today, I'm actually going to be discussing more health and wellness in the news. And specifically, I'm going to answer a question that was posed in response to my previous blog post, A Spoonful of Sugar. And in that, I talked about how we consume quite a bit of sugar in our diets, both sugar that we add as well as sugar that's included as foods are processed. And so also talked a little bit about the problems that can result from that, like not only dental cavities, but also things like obesity and other health problems that can come on as a result of being overweight or obese, like type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, high triglyceridemia, and things of that nature. In response to that, I actually got a question about that, A Spoonful of Sugar blog post, that asked, what about natural and artificial sweeteners? What's good in terms of those? And so my blog post today was actually answering that question. And, of course, it's a blog. It's not a book. So I wanted to go into a little bit more detail today on the show that I wasn't able to include in the blog post today. And just to give you the information, my blog website address is www.wordsofwellness.typepad.com. One more time, www.wordsofwellness.typepad.com. And so you can find those blog posts and other blog posts as well there. So talking about natural sweeteners, there are quite a few that are available out there right now. And I would say that one that actually I've seen quite a few commercials for is one for stevia. The actual name of the product that they're advertising is Truvia, but it is a stevia brand. And actually, stevia can be used by diabetics, so it doesn't increase blood sugar, and it has been around for a very long time, centuries, in fact. It's a very good sweetener, and it has an acquired taste. Actually, I found that it had an acquired taste. And there are several versions of stevia available, so whether you just get the extract or different brands of it, and as I mentioned, Truvia is the one that they're advertising right now. In addition to stevia, there are a lot of other natural sweeteners that are available, and a few of those are evaporated cane juice, fruit juice, things like honey and agave nectar, maple syrup, as well as rice syrup and barley malt syrup. A lot of these you can find in either a health food section of your supermarket or in a health food store or grocery store. Also, things like sugar alcohols, for example, xylitol, sorbitol, and mannitol are different sugar alcohols, and those are also a natural sweeteners that are out there and also that are included in foods today. Now, just to talk a little bit about those sugar alcohols, they are actually not sugars or alcohols. They are carbohydrates that have structure that resembles sugar and alcohol, so that's why they're called that. And you see those a lot in items that are labeled sugar-free because they replace all of the calories of the sweetener that would be included. So it actually, when they looked at it, those sugar alcohols have been found to be very beneficial as a substitute for sugar and have a great effect on reducing the glycemic response, so you don't see that huge spike in your blood sugar when consuming the sugar, alcohols, or products that have those in them. Also, they've been found to decrease dental cavities as well as lower your calorie intake. And you can find sugar, alcohols in a lot of different fruits and vegetables naturally. They naturally occur in those, as well as sugar-free and reduced sugar foods. So sometimes you can go down, I know I've seen them most recently in a drugstore. They have a little section in the candy aisle that's like sugar-free, and if you look on the back of those packs, it has things like sorbitol or mannitol or something in them. Found a lot in sugar-free hard and soft candies, as well as chewing gum. I've seen xylitol quite a bit in that. One of the things to note is that it's about 25 to 100% as sweet as sucrose, which is table sugar. A problem, though, is that because the sugar alcohols have fewer calories than sugar, they work that way because they are not actually absorbed in our bodies. So that means that they kind of go through our body. And a problem with that is that if you take in foods in a higher amount that's recommended or in excessive amounts, those sugar alcohols can lead to abdominal gas as well as diarrhea. So actually, any foods that contain sorbitol or mannitol have to include a warning on their label that says excess consumption may have a laxative effect. The American Dietetic Association advises that intakes greater than 50 grams per day of the sorbitol or greater than 20 grams a day of the mannitol can cause diarrhea. So that's definitely something to keep in mind with those sugar alcohols. Personally, I use an organic agave nectar as a sweetener, and that's about 25% sweeter than sugar. It also has a lower glycemic index, and I really like it. It's easy to pour. It's easy to store. It doesn't crystallize. It doesn't taste too sweet. It actually has a very nice mild flavor, and it really is great. I use it in my morning tea every morning, and actually my afternoon tea too, and so I really enjoy it quite a bit. It is a little more expensive than you would see for other sweeteners, sugar more specifically, not so much with respect to some of the other artificial sweeteners that you may see. So those are some of the natural sweeteners that are out there that I encourage you to give a try if you are able. Switching over to the artificial sweeteners, I mentioned in the blog a list of the different artificial ones, some of them, at least those that are FDA approved at this time. And, something to keep in mind is that those artificial sweeteners are artificial, so they're, man-made or engineered substances. And so it's, something important to keep in mind if that's of a concern for you in consuming products that contain them. So right now, as I mentioned, there are 5 FDA-approved artificial sweeteners, and they are saccharin, and trade names for that would be Sweet and Low or Sweet Twin. Also, there's aspartame, and brand names for that would be NutraSweet, Equal, or Sugar Twin. Also, there is acesulfame potassium, which is also known as ACE-K or Sunnet. There is sucralose, which is another name for Splenda, or Splenda has sucralose in it. And there's Neotame as well. So those are the 5 artificial sweeteners that are FDA approved right now. And when you're looking at the different kind of sweeteners, there are a couple of different organizations that are involved in, having a say in what kind of sweeteners are in our foods and in our medications. And so the World Health Organization, there's the Scientific Committee on Food of the European Commission, there's the Joint Expert Committee of Food Additions of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, and then finally there's the United States Food and Drug Administration, or FDA. And they look at things and they decide whether things are going to be generally, like two categories. The first is generally recognized as safe, category. And then there's also whether it's going to be a food additive category. what they generally recognize as safe. They just kind of look at all the data and information on a particular substance and, you know, just to tell whether they're qualified experts that know about it and have a consensus that the substance is safe. For a food additive, there's privately held data and information on the use of that substance that's actually sent by the sponsors to the FDA, and then the FDA goes ahead and evaluates all of the information that they receive to determine whether the substance is safe based on the information that they have. So those are the different categories, and once they are looking at all these different artificial sweeteners, they evaluate them and they regulate them. The five that I mentioned are considered food additives, and they evaluate them based on how safe they are, as well as some sensory quality. So does it have a good taste? You know, is there any bitterness? Does it smell a different way? As well as if it's stable in different food environments. And so they look at all of that information, and they assign these additives an acceptable daily intake number. And for each additive, they establish this, and the ADA, or accepted daily intake, is the amount of that food additive that can be consumed daily over a lifetime without seeing an increase in health risk to the person on the basis of all the information they have on that particular additive. So I just wanted to give you some background information on that, and if you'd like more information on this subject where I'm getting this from, of artificial sweeteners, you can check out medicinenet.com. There is an article on artificial sweeteners by Betty Kovacs, who's a registered dietitian, and Dr. William Scheel, Jr. is the medical editor for that on medicinenet.com. So going over the first one, saccharin, it's actually been around the longest, over 100 years actually, which I was surprised when I saw that. And it is, you know, claims to be one of the best researched sweeteners since it's been around so long. It's about 200 to 700 times sweeter than sucrose or table sugar. And we were really happy in the United States to have saccharin when it was developed, because there was like something that you can use to try to cut down on what was perceived to be increase in calories and, you know, increase in weight as a result to taking in sugar. And so very happy, oh, we have saccharin now. And lo and behold, there was a controversy that came on the scene when research done in the 1970s, particularly a research study done in 1977 that showed bladder tumors in male rats with the ingestion of saccharin. And so you can imagine everyone being very excited that there was an artificial sweetener that they can use for diet or health purposes. And to have this research kind of come on the scene was very alarming. So immediately the FDA put a ban on saccharin, and the general public really opposed that ban, and so Congress stepped in and allowed saccharin to remain in the food supply as long as there was a label on things that said, use of this product, and I'm quoting, use of this product may be hazardous to your health. This product contains saccharin, which has been determined to cause cancer in laboratory animals, end quote. So that, as you can imagine, that's pretty alarming warning to have on anything that you're about to maybe sprinkle in coffee or something. And so they wanted to just do something until they were able to do further research to check on this tumor findings and cancer risk. So they did more studies, about 30 human studies that have been done that have found that the research that they got in the increase in bladder tumors did not translate to humans. And so they looked at that and said, oh, well, saccharin is safe for human consumption. And the warning has actually been removed from saccharin-containing products. However, there are always two sides to the story when you're looking at some of these artificial sweeteners, you know, people who are for it and then people who are really against it. And the people who oppose saccharin, actually in response to the report that took the warning off in 1997, the Center for the Science of Public Interest did a report that basically said even if saccharin is a weak carcinogen, it is unnecessary risk to the public to have that in foods, and that to take the warning would kind of limit further studies and looking into the effects of that on a long-term range. And so that was one of the problems that came up, still looking at the possible bladder cancer. And then another claim that was made as it relates to saccharin was the possibility of allergic reactions. Now, the saccharin belongs to a group of compounds called sulfonamides, and that actually can cause allergic reactions in people who, can't tolerate sulfa drugs or drugs that have sulfa in them. So, reactions like headaches, breathing problems, skin eruptions or rashes, and diarrhea can result in taking those. And they also believe that saccharin found in some infant formulas can cause irritability and muscle dysfunction. A lot of these have not been proven, but claims have been made, and it's enough that many people believe that saccharin should be limited in infants, children, and pregnant women. Now, even though there have been claims, because there's no research that supports those claims, the FDA has not put any limitations on that. So that's just something to keep in mind when you're looking at artificial sweeteners. The second on the list was aspartame, and that was actually started to be used in 1981 in different things like sweeteners and in products like cereals, gelatins, puddings, things like that, and then became a general purpose sweetener in 1996. As I mentioned, the brand names for aspartame are NutraSweet, Equal, and Sugar Twin, and it's also found in a lot of products right now, especially in many diet sodas or diet drinks that you can see. Now, aspartame is actually one of the most controversial artificial sweeteners that we have on the market right now. And, when you look, there are so many different websites and books and articles state why aspartame should not be consumed, and then research studies and, some other case reports that show that there have not been a problem. So I'll just kind of talk briefly about a couple of them just to give you some information on to help you make the decision. There was actually a Dr. Roberts that coined the term aspartame disease, and he mentioned that their aspartame products were the cause of about 80% of complaints to the FDA about food additives. And so things like headaches, dizziness, changes in mood, vomiting or nausea, as well as abdominal pain, cramps, change in vision, diarrhea, seizures, memory loss, and fatigue were symptoms that were that people complained of having in response to aspartame. In addition to those symptoms, also there were links to aspartame in certain fibromyalgia symptoms, spasms, pain and numbness, cramps, joint pain, as well as unexplainable depression, anxiety attacks, slurred speech, blurred vision, multiple sclerosis, systemic lupus, and various cancers. And so that's quite a long list of symptoms that have been reported as a result of taking that. However, with that, the FDA has assured the public that there have been no adverse health complications from that, and that's mainly because they don't have research to base all of those symptoms on intake of aspartame. However, they did say that some symptoms can be related to aspartame. So you don't have to worry about remembering that whole laundry list I just gave you. But they did find that there was one study that actually confirmed that individuals reported headaches after the ingestion of aspartame, and that they were, more susceptible as a result of taking that artificial sweetener. And they did a study which was randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, which is, a bunch of scientific research terms, but those are actually the best type of studies, that showed that people who are migraine sufferers had more frequent and more severe headaches when they took the aspartame as opposed to if they, did not. Also, looking at depression, when you had patients who had a diagnosis of depression, or I should say history of depression, that they had reactions in a study that they actually wound up stopping that study because how severe the depression was that these individuals encountered. And so that led them to believe that individuals with mood disorders are probably a little more sensitive to aspartame and recommended that they avoid its use. Also, there was a study that was done in rats, I'll point out, that showed that 12 out of 320 rats developed malignant brain tumors after receiving aspartame in an FDA trial. And then there have been studies after that that supported that, and then studies that contradict or negate that particular finding. So it is really hard to say, and I think this is something that's going to be greatly debated on down the line, and we just have to wait to get more information and research studies before we can say clearly on how safe that is for us to consume. Also, there's a question of increased hunger or appetite. There was a study done that showed that drinks that were sweetened with aspartame as opposed to regular sugar increased food intake and appetite ratings once they started drinking those aspartame-sweetened drinks, and which is a problem because if you're drinking diet drinks in order to lose weight and then you're hungrier and your appetite is increased as a result of that, that's really going to negate the effects of that. And so they have repeated the study in males, and it didn't show an increase in hunger ratings or food intake in the diet group in that the other study. So it's also something that's pretty confusing and needs to be examined a little more closely, this effect of possibly increasing your appetite when you're drinking that. I do know that there hasn't been, the more diet drinks that you have, it doesn't necessarily lead to more weight loss. And so I think we need to look at everything that we're eating and drinking. Sucralose was next on the list, which is also known as Splenda. And it's the newest artificial one that's on the market. And their claim to fame is that they are made from sugar, and it's actually 600 times sweeter than table sugar, and says that it provides essentially no calories because it's not fully absorbed. What they do is they take sugar and they alter it chemically in order to get the Splenda, but as a result, the Splenda or sucralose contains chlorine by the way that they alter it. And so the problem is that chlorine is considered a carcinogen. And, while the sucralose or Splenda, I'm giving the example, is not fully absorbed in our systems, some of it is, and so about 15% of it is absorbed in our bodies. And so we're not really sure what effect that will have on our bodies in the long term. Right now, when they look at things, there are no side effects that have been found with a short-term use of Splenda in the studies that they have done so far. But I think that long-term studies on the effects, not just on animals but on humans, really needs to be looked at to see, thing on the market, and it takes a while before you can get long-term information on how it affects people. And so I think that that will be very helpful in that. But at this point, there haven't been any side effects with its short-term use as reported by the FDA, other than the chloride problem with the way that it's made. The other thing, Acyl Same K or potassium. It's also known as ACE K, another name for it. It's about 200 times sweeter than sucrose or table sugar. And if you've never heard of it, do not feel bad. I hadn't heard of it either, really, or didn't remember hearing about it unless I learned about it in medical school and promptly forgot it. But it's been around since 1988, and a lot of people don't realize that this artificial sweetener is actually used in their food and beverages. So if you look on your food label, it'll be listed as acylfame K or ACE K or something of that nature. And so I think one of the biggest problems with ACE K is that people are looking at how well was it tested, And is it really safe? And also the fact that there aren't really long-term studies on the effect that this particular substance or sweetener has on us. Another problem is that it does contain methylene chloride, which is considered a carcinogen or cancer-causing substance. And so, you know, one thing that they do know is that long-term exposure to methylene chloride can cause things like headaches, depression, nausea, mental confusion, liver effects, kidney effects, visual disturbances, as well as cancer in humans. And so there's been a lot of opposition to using that without testing it further, but the FDA does not require that further tests be done at this time. And so, if it's not required, a lot of the companies won't do it. So that is something important to note. The last that I mentioned is Neotame, and this is actually a new one. It's a new version of aspartame that was approved by the FDA in 2002. And it is chemically related to aspartame, but it doesn't have the phenylalanine dangers that aspartame has in individuals that have PKU or phenylketonuria. It's a certain metabolic condition where they can't take in aspartame-containing products because they will get sick. So this product was made up in order to kind of circumvent that, and it's much sweeter than aspartame, and it's about 7,000 to 13,000 times sweeter than sucrose or table sugar, which is actually enough to make me go, that's pretty interesting. I'm not sure if I want something that sweet. It just really made me scratch my head a little bit, but I think the issue with Neotame is that it really, according to this article, entered the market very discreetly than some of the other artificial sweeteners, and so discreetly that I wasn't aware of it until I did research for this, that it was an available product. And so when you look at the website for Neotame, there are over 100 scientific studies that the website says to support how safe it is, but you don't necessarily have access to that as someone of the public. And a lot of people who are against the Neotame claim that the studies that have been done also, you know, don't look at the long-term health implications of the sweetener, and that you need more scientifically sound studies by labs that, you know, are not making the product, but someone who's kind of outside of it or independent of that whole process in order to really take a further look at that. So that is the list, kind of going over all of the different sweeteners and what's, you know, kind of the most frequent questions that are raised about the sweeteners. One other issue is that, you know, is it safe to blend those sweeteners? A lot of time that's done, and so that's something else that's being looked at, the safety on mixing them together, which is done quite a bit in some of the products. So this information, I hope, is very helpful to you. I really encourage all of you. I encourage all of you to do your own research, to try out some of the natural sweeteners as well, and to definitely look on your products that you're taking in, look at the ingredient list on the food label so you can have a better idea of what's in the products that you're eating, so you can be more informed. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to speaking with you next time, which will be July 29th on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless. Take care.